This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, so Parshas Va'era. For those listening online, please do email me at jdogolker@gmail.com and I will happily send you the handout. Four Divrei Torah for this evening on Parshas Va'era. The first is I try very hard not to find new material each week, and I Baruch Hashem do. However, the first idea, part of it I have said before, but there is a Hosof which I'd like to add, which I think it merits repeating the initial idea. And that is this. In Perek Vav, towards the beginning of the Parsha, the Pasuk says, Hu Aaron u'Moshe asher omar Hashem lehotzi, hotziu es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim al tzivo osam. It puts Aaron before Moshe. And interestingly, in the very next Pasuk, it says, Heim ha-medabrim el paro melech Mitzrayim lehotzi es b'nei Yisrael hu Moshe v'Aaron. So sometimes it's Aaron and Moshe, and sometimes it's Moshe and Aaron. What does it teach us? So Rashi on the Pasuk tells us, this is in Perek Vav, Pasuk Chavov, Yesh Mekoyim Shemaktim Aaron and Moshe. Sometimes Aaron comes first, but Yesh Mekoyim Shemaktim Moshe and Aaron. Sometimes Moshe comes first. Lo Melechot, to teach us, Shesh Shekulin Ke'echod, that Moshe and Aaron were equal, they were of equal stature. But Moshe Feinstein is very troubled by this. Really? Moshe and Aaron were of equal stature? Does not the Pasuk tell us that Lekom Bisrael Novi Kamosha, that there was no Novi like Moshe Rabbeinu? Wasn't he the greatest Jew who ever lived? Wasn't he reached the highest levels in Nevuah? How can the Pasuk tell us Aaron, Moshe, Aaron, as Rashi says, Lomel Choshesh Kulin Ke'echot, to teach us they were equal? So Moshe has a very important answer and a very interesting and important Yesod idea, which is important for chinuch and important for parenting and for life in general. And that is this. You know, many times when I'm at certain governor meetings or chinuch, occasions, I'm asked the following question. How do you define success? What is the definition of success in a school, in a class, with talmidim, with talmidas? How do you define success? And it's an important question. And the answer I often give is based on the Gemara in Brachos. Let's take a look at this Gemara in Brachos, an amazing insight of Rav Shimon Schwab. The Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, it's on the second box of paragraph one. Ki havu miftri rabbanon bebei Rebbe Yami. It says the Gemara in Brachos, Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. When the rabbis would leave the yeshiva of Rebbe Yami, the omri lo mebei Rebbe, Chanina from Rebbe Chanina, omri lehochi, they would, their parting wish, their parting greeting was the following. Eilomecha tire b'chayecha. May you see your world in your lifetime. What on earth does that mean? Eilomecha tire b'chayecha. It seems a very cryptic blessing. So Rav Shimon Schwab says the most amazing idea. Eilomecha tire b'chayecha means this. The word eilom, your world, is related to the word he'elam or ne'elam, something which is hidden, something which is missing. In fact, the whole world, the word olam, comes from the word hidden. What's hidden about this world? Well, we know there's a concept called tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu restricts his presence in this world. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. So why don't we see him? The answer is tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls himself away from this world, and our job is to find him in this very dark world. That's why the world is called olam. It's from the word hidden. Eilomecha tir b'chayecha means, may you see your world in your lifetime, may you see the hidden part of you. The hidden part of you is your potential. In other words, they were blessing each other, may you fulfill your potential in your lifetime. And there is no greater blessing than that. The greatest blessing that any teacher can give a student, that any parent can give a child, is Eilomecha tir b'chayecha. May you merit to fulfill your potential, to fulfill the potential, all the abilities, the talents, the capabilities which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And that is really the answer to Rav Moshe's question, which he himself gives. Success is measured in the degree to which you fulfill your potential. Some people can have enormous potential, some people can have less potential, but you are measured against yourself and against no one else. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say, I may have the potential of 1,000 men, but I also have the responsibility of 1,000 men. So Moshe and Aaron, of course, were both great, but they had different potential. Moshe's level of capacity, his potential in Nevuah was greater than that of Aaron. But the point is that they both fulfilled their potential, and to that extent, they were both equal. That's what Rashi means. Because they both fulfilled their potential, they were both equally great in that respect. A very important idea. Okay, let's press on with the very, very interesting idea of the Emes Liakov. Of course, in Parshas Va'era, we're going to have seven of the 10 Makas. It's kedai to keep the notes and to pull them out. We're not that far away from Pesach. I know it's a dangerous thing to say to some, but Purim is 6 weeks away and Pesach follows soon afterwards. So we're now talking about the Pesach Sedras and the Makas. So something to file away and to bring out Mis Hashem in Pesach. The Pasuk says, Vaya'asu chei Moshe va'aron kashet tziv Hashem. They hit the water in the Yair, and the water transferred into dam, into blood. Etc. And the Egyptian magicians did the same, with their incantations, like we mentioned earlier. You'll see when you go through these parashas, the Egyptians, the life of Egypt was full of magic, was full of kishuf. Paro had wise men, had advisors who were well versed in witchcraft. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what happened to witchcraft? Why don't we see it nowadays? The Gemara is replete of stories with shadim, with demons, with kishuf. Why don't we see it nowadays? Says Rabbi Yaakov in Emes Liakov, in the next second box in paragraph 2. Al dovah ha-sheila, madua bizmanenu chodlu ha-machshefim gam ha-shedim nelonu. How come that nowadays you don't really see witchcraft, you don't really see demons, they've disappeared? V'chein ha-dibukim, and so too dibuk, spirits which possess people. She'asipu lanu avoseinu v'chol minei ha-chochmas ha-nelonus heichenheim. Where have they disappeared to? Are they not there? Where have they gone? Nearly. Says Rabbi Yaakov, a very interesting and important insight. Hashem set up the world that the world needs to have equal balancing powers on both sides. That there needs to be powers of Kedusha which have the equal opposite force of Tuma. And therefore, because if that weren't the case, that would jeopardize the whole structure of Bechira. If the Koichas HaKadusha was so strong, who wouldn't be religious? And if the Koichas HaTuma were overpoweringly strong and there was no equivalent in Kedusha, we would all do Averas. Muchrachu limtzei ezen mokum litos. Therefore, if there's such Kedusha in the world as there was at the time with Moshe and Aaron, etc., then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to create an equal and opposite force of Tuma. That way, it made a balance that Paro was able to slip. Or Kamosha Kosova Ramban, he brings a great proof. The Ramban says in Pashas Peshalach, Shalafichu Chutzru Chamok and Beis Kriyas Yamsuf, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Hashem made the Ruach Kodim Azo, a very strong east wind. Kadesha Yite Paro, that Paro would make a mistake. But Yomik Kibikiyas Hayom, he Ali Dehruch, Valapines. That the reason why the sea split is because there was a strong wind, there was a natural phenomenon, it wasn't because of any koichas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Olafichach, and therefore says Rabbi Yaakov, kolzman shos nevuah, so long as there was nevuah and tremendous kedusha in the world, hoyumoifsim nasim alidei kishufim, there was an ability in the world to do magic which was commensurate to the powers of kedusha opposing them. V'achakach, and then later on in history, mekivin shoyim mishdamshim bebaskol, when the Nevuah was taken away, but there was still a concept of a baskol, a heavenly voice coming out. Okay, so there wasn't the same degree of black magic, but there were still shadim and demons. And therefore, perhaps, says Rabbi Yaakov, that's why Chazal say, Lo kom b'Yisrael k'moshe oid, avu b'bavliyim kom. There was no Novi as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in the Jewish world, but in the non-Jewish world there was. And who was that? Ve'ezezeb Bilam ben Ba'ur. That the Bechira, free choice, should be equal. Etc. This is an important rule in the way Hashem operates the world. Now, With that, Rabbi Yaakov answers a very interesting question. There's a famous debate about the role of philosophy in Jewish learning. Big debates in the times of the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Yonah, and there is a very famous Gaon, the Vilna Gaon, who writes very strongly against the Ramban. Listen to this. This is the Bir HaGro in Yerodeh Simon Kuf Ayin Tes. HaRambam, says the Vilna Gaon, that the Rambam Nimshach Acha HaPhilosophia HaArura, the Rambam went after the cursed philosophy. V'lochein Kosov, and therefore the Rambam was sort of dissuaded by it. And he wrote, Shech Shech Shofim, V'Sheimois, V'Lachashim, V'Shedim, V'Kmias, black magic and special names and incantations and demons and amulets, hakol hu sheker, it's all nonsense, says the Rambam. Avo kva hiku osan al kod kode, says the Vilna Gaon, what do you mean? The Gemara talks about it, they're not made up, they were real. How could the Rambam say they're sheker, they don't exist? And many wrote later afterwards, and hiku osan al kod kode, literally hit the Rambam on his head, they've argued with the Rambam. Because Hashaharim Motsinu Harbin Masis the Gemara. We've seen many incidents in the Gemara, Al Pishemus Uchshefim with the Shemus and with magic and things like that. Vaha Philosophia Hitoso, in case we didn't get it till now, says the Gaon that the philosophy has made him make a mistake. Barov Lokal Lefarish Gemara HaKol Badera Chaltsoi. He sort of explained the Gemara in a sort of with Mesholim and by the way, and Derech Agav. And he's taken away the simple, plain meaning of the Gemara. It's not true. The Gemara is exactly as it says it. You don't have to come on to explain all mesholim and metaphors and things like that. So a strong question. The Gaon is very strong against the Rambam. How can you say there's no such thing as kishuf and of black magic and demons? The Gemara is full of it. Says Rabbi Yaakov, what's the answer? The nira, the bottom box. With the above idea that I mentioned of Zeh Lu'um HaZeh, we can explain the Rambam. The Bizman had Gemara. At the time of the Gemara, Shahu Amiroyim, there were great Amiroyim who had tremendous powers of Kedusha. Each Amira had the ability to do Tchias HaMesim, to resurrect dead people, and to perform miracles. There needs to be an equal and opposite balancing power of Tuma. That's how God set up the world. And if you've got strong koichas of Tuma, you've got to have strong koichas of Kedusha on the other side. In our days, the spiritual powers, the Kedusha, has disappeared, has melted away. That's why you don't find black magic nowadays and demons and the like nowadays. But he ends off with an interesting point, and that is this. I remember, says Rabbi Yaakov, when I was learning in the yeshiva in Kelm, there was a famous case of the dibuk. A dibuk in the times of the Chofetz Chaim, it's much literature on this, where there was a dibuk, a certain girl was possessed with a spirit that was wandering and couldn't find its place. And it entered the body of this young girl and totally possessed her. So the Chofetz Chaim got a group of people, and Rabbi Chonon witnessed it, and they somehow exercised this dibuk from this young lady. And the Chofetz Chaim, apparently Rabbi Chonon would speak about it at Purim every year. He would tell the story over at the Purim Suda, apparently. And he said that Mistama, presumably, this will be the last incident of a dibuk in the world today. Why? Ki kakol shetikaten kachat Torah. As we go away from Matan Torah and the ability and the koiches hakdush in the world reduce, came to kotin koichat Torah. So too, on the other side, the koiches hatumah get less and less and less. And interestingly, it says Rabbi Yaakov, or Be'emes in the last line, Efsha, Sha'afilu b'yomeinu, perhaps in our days, b'mekoymeh sh'nishara Yehudim chadurim b'emunah v'tmim b'maseihem, you get pockets of Jews who live with tremendous simplicity and perfection and tmimus and tzidkus, she'etzlam yeh gam l'koich hatumah koich noseh. Maybe because of their very holy, high levels of purity, maybe you still got little sparks of tumah as well to sort of equalize that koiches hakedusha. And you look into it and you'll see it makes a lot of sense. So a very interesting idea of why we don't see magic nowadays, and that answers the kasha of the Vilna Gaon on the Rambam. Okay, let's press on. Turning over the page, we have, of course, the seven makas in this week's parsha. Let's take a look at one of them. You know, it's an interesting exercise at your Seder table or your Shabbos table, to, especially with a younger audience, a younger crowd, to ask the question, which maka would you fear the most? It's interesting. Some of the kids will talk about dam, some will talk about tzvadeya, sometimes this one and that one. I think the maka we're going to focus on will certainly feature in that conversation. The pasuk says, "Vayoyim Hashem al Moshe, Hashkein baboker, get up early in the morning, v'siatzem livnei Faro, stand in front of Paro, v'matzo ilof, koyomar Hashem shalach ami v'yavduni, send out my people and they will serve me. Kim ein chom l'shaleach esami, if you don't send out my people, hinni mashliach b'chov avodecho v'amcho b'vatecho es ha'orov. If you don't send out my people, I'm going to send wild animals, and the animals will fill the houses of the Mitzrayim, the gam ha'adoma shehem oleha, and also the grounds upon which they stand." So two questions. Question number one is, what exactly are these orev? And question number two, when the pasuk says the gam ha'adoma shehem oleha, also the grounds upon which they're on, what does that mean? What are they saying? I'm going to send wild animals. Surely that's enough. Why gam ha'adoma shehem oleha? Why the land as well? Let's take a look. A few of the mefarshim on these words. Rashi says, "What is orev?" We start always with Rashi. Kol menei chayes rois, all different types of wild animals. The nechoshim, akrovim, snakes, and scorpions, baravuvia, are like a mixture. Hey mashchisim b'hoim, and they will destroy the Mitzrayim. Now the Rashbam says, "Oyme ani," very interesting. Ki minei ze'evim him. Orev were types of wolves. Shenikroim orev al shem shadarkum nitref balelus kedichsiv. Zeiv arovus yishadadim, because the Targum, like the Targum says, it's a reference to wolves. Interesting. The Rabbeinu Bachai says a very, very interesting point. Hinei mashliach b'cho es he'orov. That hey is a hey hayadia, the definitive hey. In other words, I know about these animals. They're there already. What's it referring to? Why is it that this maka has a hey hayadia but no others? Says Rabbeinu Bachai, no other maka has the hey hayadia. The pasuk should have just said, "I'm going to send against you orov." Why he orov? Isn't what he says. Because this, in contrast to the other plagues, it wasn't a new creation. They were animals from all over the world that were brought to Mitzrayim to destroy Mitzrayim. But I didn't need to create a Bria Chadosha. The dam was new, the Tzvadeya was new, the Barad was a Nes Petech Nes, everything was a new Bria, was a new Yetzira. But these animals weren't created specially for this, they were in existence already. And therefore the Pasuk says, Hinni Mashliach Becha He'orov, something which exists already. Interesting observation. What about the Pasuk, the words, V'gam Ha'adoma Ashehem Oleha? So the Sefarno says something very interesting. The gam ha'adoma shehem oleho, ha'karka ashe'olov ha'botim, the ground upon which their houses stood, yemale nechoshim, should become full of snakes. V'zulosim ha'ashreichim be'amavo ha'adoma bo'efin shloi betuchim gam b'lal be'sovim. They can shut their front doors, but if the land upon which their very houses are standing are full of snakes, the snakes can slip in easily. And therefore, that would persecute the Mitzrayim. And that's what it's referring to when it says v'gam ha'adom ha'shem oleho. But two other ideas I came across to explain these words, two fascinating ideas. The first is the Nachlas Yaakov. That's the next one. U'molu botim Mitzrayim es he'orov v'gam ha'adom ha'shem oleho, says the Nachlas Yaakov, v'haloshen u'tamua. The language, the expression is very strange. V'nira, dihine b'shas, the shas, the Gemara tells us, kalba b'loy mato shevshani loy naboch. A dog not in its natural habitat, for 7 years won't bark. Or when he doesn't smell the ground of its own land, where he was raised, He's not going to have the brazenness to attack people. A dog feels comfort, feels confidence in its own habitat. And therefore, if it's not in its own habitat, he won't bark, he won't harass people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring these animals with the land that they're on, because they're coming on the land which they normally have in their natural habitat, they're coming with the land with them. That will give them the confidence to bark and to be as vicious as they possibly can, because they have the confidence which is engendered by their natural habitat. The Chanukah Satorah, the famous Chanukah Satorah, is the Rebbe of the Shach and the Taz. Has a small kuntras on Chumash with beautiful ideas. He says the following: Hine, al tevas ha'adoma hazois nemur ha'beperushim. There are many commentaries on these words, v'gam ha'adoma shehim oleh. Now he says a very different and interesting idea. V'yesh levair, I want to explain. Hine Rashi zal pirush orav kol minei chayos rois. Hine isa b'rash. It's brought in the commentary of the Rash, who is a commentary on Mishnah, the Perek Ches Tekiloi Mishnah Hei. In the eighth parak of Kilayim, one of the lesser learned Mishnayos, the Rash says that there is a certain type of animal, sheyesh chaya achas sheshmo yidoini. There's a certain animal called the yidoini. It's a very strange animal. Ukumin chevel godel yotze misheresh baretz, and it's connected to the ground with some sort of chain, with some sort of umbilical cord from the animal, which connects it to the ground. Ukhashaboyin lot sudam, when people try and hunt this animal, no one can get close to it, because it's a wild and vicious animal. What they do, they get to the chevel, and when they cut the rope which connects the animal to the ground, the animal dies immediately. Take a look at the Rush in the commentary of that Mishnah. And so too over here. In Kenya Pole. If you're going to have all the types of wild animals in the world, how's HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to bring this Yidoni? Once you just bring this animal and you disconnect it from the ground, it's going to die as soon as you disconnect it. That's why the Pasuk says, I'm going to bring this animal, the Yidoni, kashur ala b'chevel, with the ground that it stands on, so that the connecting chevel, the connecting chain, will still be in place and he'll be able to do his destructive damage. So there you have some very interesting ideas of what Orav are, and also these explanations of what the words v'gam ha'adom ha'shem aleha can refer to. One final idea to share with you. The pasuk says in Perek Ches in pasuk Yutes, the samti pedus, and I will put a pedus. A pedus means either Rashi says it's a redemption. It doesn't. Some farshim say it refers to a distinction, a division. But the Rashi says it means the word redemption. The samti pedus bein ami uvein amecha, between my people and your people, between Klal Yisrael and the Egyptians. L'mocha yio eis hazeh, and tomorrow will be this sign. Now, the Baal HaTurim notes that the word pedus appears in Tanakh three times, once in this week's parasha and twice in Tehillim, that I'll redeem you from amongst others. Interestingly, says the Baal HaTurim, the word pedus in this week's Zedra is spelt choser. Pedus is normally spelt pei dalad vav tof, but here it's spelt v'samti pedus choser without a vav. Says the Baal HaTurim. Why is that? He says v'samti pedus gimel b'masayra. It appears three times in Tanakh. V'samti pedus says the Baal HaTurim. One is over here, and it's spelt choser without a vav, and it's twice spelt with a vav. As he brings Pedus Sholach La'amoy, he's the apostle came to Tehillim, he sent Pedus redemption to his people. Vaharbe imay Pedus, again with a vav. Now, why the difference? Says the Balaturim, because La'osid ye gamkin hagur shleima v'zeu harbe meipudus. In other words, here in this week's parasha, the redemption, the deliverance, is only partial, because here for this particular makor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a differentiation between the Mitzrayim and the Jewish people, that the Jewish people won't have Arav, they won't have wild beasts attacking them. But that's only a sort of a partial deliverance, but there won't be a total redemption because there are other makas, they're still in Mitzrayim, etc. La'osid, for the other two types of gulas, there will be a gula shlema, there will be a complete delivery, and that's referred to by the fact that it says kudus in full. But here, kudus is spelled choser, because it's only a partial deliverance, a particular sort of saving in respect of this particular makor. That's the way the Balaturim learns the difference. I heard once from Rabbi Bixenspan a different pshat. He said that why is Pudus in this week's parasha spelt choser? He says, you see, Pudus means redemption. There are three types of redemption. One is a redemption of Klal Yisrael from among the nations. One is redemption within Klal Yisrael, to save us from the machlokas and the discord within the very ranks of Klal Yisrael. And the third, kedus, is our personal redemptions, whatever particular individual struggles we may be having, there's a personal redemption, a personal freedom. Says Rabbi Bixenspanner, taking us out of golus, the first type of kedus, is easy. With its choser, it's quite easy, it's straightforward, kedus without a vav. To take us out from amongst the nations, Hashem can do. But the other two redemptions, redeeming us from within Klal Yisrael, removing the machlokas within Klal Yisrael, or our personal redemptions, they're harder, and therefore they're spelt mole with a vav. That was Rabbi Bixenspanner's take on this this idea. So there we have it. Four ideas on Parshas Va'era. The first is that beautiful insight of Moshe Feinstein. Rashi tells us that sometimes Moshe Aaron, sometimes Aaron Moshe, to teach us they were equal. Says Ramosha, how can that be? The answer is they were equal in as much as they both fulfilled their potential. Their potential was different, but that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. You are judged relative to your own potential, not relative to the particular accomplishments of others. And that's really the bracha that the Chazal gave each other, the Gemara of Shimon Schwab's idea in Brachas Yudzayin. May you fulfill your potential in your lifetime. That is the greatest bracha anybody can give anybody. What about magic today? Says Rabbi Yaakov, where's it all gone? Kishuv, Shadim, Machshefa, etc., etc. So Rabbi Yaakov says, Zelu Mazeh, because there was tremendous Koiches HaKdusha, you needed to have an equal and opposite balancing force to enable Bechira to operate. And therefore, when Nevuah went down, the Koch of Tumah went down as well, and then it continued to do so until this very day. And perhaps, says the Rabbi Yaakov, that answers the famous Kasha of the Gaon on the Rambam, who says in a very strong language that philosophy had swayed the Rambam. And perhaps the Rambam was talking about his day, but in the times of the Gemara, he would acknowledge that then it did apply, but you don't find it nowadays because the Koiches HaKdusha have deteriorated so much. Then we said the various ideas of Orov, the various pshatim we saw, what exactly were Orov, and second of all, what the different pshatim of the Gamha Doma Shehim Oleho, whether it's a reference to the snakes being able to get into the houses, or whether it's the Nachlas Yaakov to give the dogs that confidence because they're in their sort of home ground, home territory, or whether it's the Chanuk Satura as a reference to this strange animal, the Yidoni, that it was able to terrorize because it was still attached to the ground, so that the cable was not disconnected. And lastly, that idea, the Balaturim observation, that Pedust appears three times in the Torah, but in this week's parasha, Pudus is spelt choser, either because it's a partial deliverance, it's only a deliverance from this particular makor, whereas the other gula, Mis Hashem, will be a full and complete gula, or Rabbi Bixenspanner's take on it, that taking us out of golus is easy, but destroying the machlokas in Klal Yisrael, removing us from the, freeing us from the machlokas in Klal Yisrael, or removing the personal issues we may struggle with, and having a personal redemption, that is more challenging, and that's alluded to in this in the word Pudus spelt Molly. Thank you very much for listening, and I wish you all a very good evening and a very good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.